I did it again, didn't I? This time I forgot to put the mic up. Holy fucking Jesus. Yeah, I was telling you a whole lot of stuff there. Lip readers would have understood it. My God. Oh. Yeah. I'm due a break. And after I finish with you tomorrow morning, if I do come on here tomorrow morning, I think I probably will. I'm taking my holiday. I'm due a break. I'm absolutely knackered. That's the sort of thing, isn't it? Just don't turn the mic on. My apologies for that. I was saying there, lip syncing, as I was, that sorry about yesterday afternoon. I was away at my solicitor's for longer than I expected to be yesterday afternoon. And it wasn't until after 6 o'clock when I got back to the house. So I've rescheduled the guests. I've got some very good guests lined up today. Jim Fetzer will join me later today. And I'll also be going live to Australia to chat with a man called Ben Johnston, who's a very interesting man who got in touch with the programme a few months ago. And I've wanted to connect with him since then. We're going to talk about veganism and animal welfare and farming. And it's going to be really interesting. That's going to be today. Today, Thursday, that's right. So, oh, that's all you missed, really, was me saying that. And that it says Thursday, August 8th, 2019. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very quick few hellos, because I want to move on. Lots going on today. Hi to pro-rebel separatist, to AU Kekovic, to Martin, who's talking about Bitcoin there, who says there's a trade war going on. Markets and paper currencies going down while Bitcoin and gold is going up. I said many of the financial analysts who deign, stoop or condescend to speaking with the independent media, many of them are of the opinion, and always were, always will be, that you can't go wrong buying gold or investing in gold. They don't listen to me, right? I don't watch the markets. I don't follow it. But they talk about gold being bulletproof. I don't know. Hi to Julie Waters, Philip Blair, Evading Grid, Michael Billington. How you doing, Michael? Hi to Gail. Hi to Jesus Jones. Let's scroll on down to Una Monroe. Good morning, Una. To Jane Whelan on the Costa del Sol. Buenos dias, Jane. ¿Qué tal? Let's see. Yeah, you can stop sending me messages now that the microphone wasn't on. I realised it. Didn't get a text about it, but I realised it. Hi to Mad Cow Jimmy. Paul Alawi. Jack Woolley. Beautiful daffodils out in August already. Oh, in Australia, excuse me. Yes, of course, because you're approaching springtime there, aren't you? Jack, thank you for that. Appreciate that. Hi to Damo. Thanks for donating to the programme, Damo. I haven't seen your message, mate. I'll dig it out later on. Really appreciate that. Thanks so much, mate. Hi to Danny Warden, who's been watching or looking at Al Jazeera, saying that the UK could have extensive food shortages if we leave the European Union without a deal. Yeah, of course. It's all going to go belly up if we leave without it. We're not going to leave without a deal. Anyway, don't worry about it. Hi to Triple S. Hi to Outer Earthly. Let me go on down. Great names. Trevor the Mule. David Mitchell, Graham Farmer, Ian Ilpas, John Grammaticus. Good stuff, John. Brilliant. Jennifer Garcia, how you doing, Jennifer? To Dean. Yeah, I turned the mic on. John and Sarah Stott, Stuart Batty, Sir Hubert. And I said Sean Mack, did I? Misty Ernst. And I'm going to go on down. Ishioku, I do need a holiday. See, what happened to me was I got pneumonia in February. And I was gravely ill. And those of you who've been with me for a long time will know that I spent some time in hospital this time last year. And I had complete collapse this time last year. Pneumonia was bad in February. And I never took a spring break. See, I would normally take a week in the spring and I would do nothing. I would go to the Lake District or somewhere, find a cheap hotel and just do nothing. But this spring I didn't take a break. You had a few days off to move, Richie. I did have a few days off to move, but that wasn't a break. It was crazy. So I've not had a holiday since last Christmas, and I'm in a desperate state of tiredness now, to be honest. I'm at collapse. People who don't who've never worked in the media will never understand what it is that a guy like me does. Now, don't think for a minute you're going to hear any virtue signalling. Don't panic. What I do in terms of the platform is only important because of the people that come on it and talk about things. I'm not important. Never have been, never will be. Okay, not false modesty, not virtue signalling. I am not important. But what I do is extraordinary. Presenting 5 or 6 live radio shows a week, packed full of content and editorial and research, is a job that ordinarily takes 3 or 4 people. Ordinarily. I do it myself. I work 16 hours a day. I don't look for any praise for that. I don't want any congratulations, any congratulatory messages. But that's what I do, and it is outrageous. And I kind of sometimes wish you knew just how bad it gets, the toll that it takes on you. Jean-Anne Crowley, Irish actress, worked for RTE, has written for all the broadsheet newspapers, has worked in radio. She wouldn't mind me saying, kind of keels over when she thinks about the enormity of the undertaking that I've kind of brought on myself. But I knew it would be like that when I turned down the last offer I had in 2014 to present in mainstream commercial media. I knew it was going to be like this. I can't have a producer. I can't have an editor working remotely. I can't. It's got to be me doing everything. And it is horrendous at times. Like right now, for example, have I not been able to get any downtime since Christmas? I'm basically walking around like a zombie. And when I get finished with the live radio show today, I might just very well say, fuck that. I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. On the 27th of August, the day after the bank holiday Monday, I've just got to go because I'm done now. I'm absolutely done. But I'm not looking for any sympathy here. I'm just telling you, this is the way it is. You know, you don't do what I do properly without 3 or 4 people. I do what I do properly by myself. It takes hours and hours and hours. You sometimes like, wow, well, it's an amazing interview. And wow, where did Richie get all that information from? 16 hours a day of research. Yeah, recording, editing, recording, reading. Never ends, right? Never ends. And that's the way it is. Don't want any sympathy, don't want any praise. But yeah, I'm done now. I'm done. I can't wait to stop. I've had enough. Right, let's look at the papers. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, Flanagan. Not feeling sorry for myself at all. Hey, listen, before we look at the papers, what about Patricia Arquette, eh? Rosanna, fuck off. I'm sorry, I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me. And I feel so much shame. This must be about the Donaldsters, the Trumpsters visit to El Paso. But it might be about a horrifying story that has made the newspapers here this morning about a black man being arrested. I'll get into that in a few minutes' time. I don't know why, because I'm not allowed to read Rosanna Arquette's tweets. Neither are you, unless she's given you permission to read them. But, yeah, I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me. I wouldn't go down the conservative route of screaming abuse at her, because I kind of feel sorry for her. This is what the programming and the never-ending 24-hour-a-day conditioning is doing to people. Yeah. She somehow believes now, Rosanna, that being born probably full stop, right? Let alone being born white and privileged. Because if you were born white, you were born privileged. You were privileged. You had a head start. Big advantage. She's partly to blame for the problems of minority groups in her country. This is the lunacy. It's lunacy. But it's quite funny as well. It's quite funny. We'll leave there. Rosanna Arquette. What was the last thing she did that was any good? Pulp Fiction, was it? That's going back a while, Pulp Fiction. And Desperately Seeking Susan. There was a movie now to fuel the fantasies of young Irish adolescents in the 1980s. Madonna and Rosanna Arquette. Madonna was brilliant in that. I know most of my listeners would think that Madonna is some sort of Satanist crazy bitch now, right? I don't know if she is or not. I know there's a lot of satanic imagery in the Madonna videos and in her live performances. I know that. I would accept it. How much of it Madonna is aware of, I have no idea. But she was a good actress, Madonna. I mean, Shanghai Surprise was a disgrace, wasn't it? If I'd have directed Shanghai Surprise and I'd have watched the edit back, I'd have fucking killed myself. I would have said, that's it. You're out of here, son. Gone. Right. Who sent the Super Chat donation there? Craig Storer. Thanks so much, Craig. I really appreciate that, mate. I will have a drink on you next week. I've got nothing planned. We're going nowhere. Caroline is off next week, but only for 1 week. And then she's got to go back to work the following week. I'm taking 2 weeks out. I have to. I used to only take 1 week in the summer. I'm taking 2 weeks this summer. But thanks, mate. I will have a drink. We're going nowhere. There's a couple of cricket games on. A couple of one day T20s I'm going to go to. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to chill out in the new home. I'm going to listen to a lot of vinyl records. I'm not going to drink very much because I won't relax. And I won't be refreshed coming back. Alcohol is a no-no for the holiday. I'll have a couple of glasses of wine with a couple of, maybe a couple of meals out, but that's about it. But thanks very much. I really appreciate that. Right. Rosanna Arquette, yeah, it's funny stuff, that. What's on the front page of the Daily Mail? Wish you weren't here. A BA meltdown. So a strike was averted by British Airways staff after they were given assurances about pay and conditions. And that was a big sigh of relief for people who have booked their holidays. Because right about now, of course, and next week and the week after, that's when millions of people fly to the Costa del Sol, where Jane is based, and where I was based for so many years, to holidays. So they don't need to hear this about strikes. Ryanair pilots are threatening to strike. I think O'Leary recently announced, I've not got any notes on this, but didn't Michael O'Leary announce recently that Ryanair needs to let go a number of pilots, a lot of pilots, in fact. So people are terrified. According to the Mail, the ground staff strike that was averted might still go ahead, and that would affect very many people. Look, try not to be me. Unions are a good thing. I know unions don't have a fraction of the power that they once had, which is a terrible thing. That's because of corruption and so many other things I could get into. But look, when people are treated badly by their employers, when they're not looked after, all that's left to them is industrial action. And I know it pisses you off when you're flying out to Benidorm, or when you're flying out to Alicante, when you're flying out to Malaga Airport. I know, absolutely, you've got the kids. I know. But look, they're entitled to stand up for their rights. I'm a trade unionist. And I told you a little anecdote on the programme once, didn't I, about how a trade union was very good to me when I got pished and took a bottle of wine from a party at Waterford Crystal when I was 18 years old. They wanted to fire me, the fuckers. And eventually the union stepped in and said, you won't fire him because he's not a thief. You gave him a job that you shouldn't have given him. You made him the waiter at a high-end cocktail party. This scally boy here, you made him the waiter, and he walked out of there pissed as a fart and took a bottle of wine. Fook off. So unions are important. Like I said, maybe not as important now as they used to be. So don't melt down, no pun intended. The ground staff have every right to exercise their right to protest and to strike. Okay. Summer of air chaos. Pilots vote to strike. This is Ryanair on the iPaper there. Yeah. Is Shanghai Surprise the worst film ever made? Is it? Is it the worst film ever? I'm trying to think because amongst my many lives, I spent a year as a projectionist at the cinema plex in Waterford City. I learned how to be a projectionist and I enjoyed that. And I got to see a lot of films. Shanghai Surprise is diabolical. I saw that in the cinema years ago. Christ, what else did I see that was... What did I walk out of? I walked out of some stuff over the years. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm delirious now, you see. The Guardian, new rebel bid to halt no deal amid fury at PM's enforcer. The guy there with the glasses and the mork... Is that a mork jacket? It's not a mork jacket, is it? A mork jacket, as in mork from Ork. Robin Williams is puffier, no? It's not a mork jacket. That's Damien Cummings. He's a senior advisor to Boris Johnson on all things Brexit. And MPs in the House of Commons, including Conservative MPs, are melting down because this guy has been saying things like, well, MPs don't get to decide which votes they honour and which votes they don't. So we're leaving on October 31st, end of story. He's been saying, Damien Cummings. So MPs are getting together to figure out ways that they can stop this. Look, we're not leaving without any deal. We're not. It's a very complicated thing for me. It's a very complex one for me. I would love the UK and Ireland and Spain and Portugal to walk away from the European Union, full stop. No deals, no negotiations. But of course, even if we do, it doesn't change the fact that you're left with people like Boris Johnson. You know, people have been saying this to me on social media. You've been saying it to me on YouTube. I know, right? I agree with you. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be leaving the European Union. We should be. The Telegraph. McDonnell. I'll send Corbyn to the palace to stop no-deal Brexit. See? I, John McDonnell, swear by Almighty God that I will bear true and faithful allegiance to Queen Elizabeth II and all her heirs. That's what that fucker said in order to be allowed to enter Parliament and then to speak in Parliament. I'll go to the Queen to get the Queen to sack Johnson. If there is a motion of no confidence in Boris Johnson, if it succeeds and Johnson still tries to plough ahead, rather, we'll go to the palace and tell the Queen to get rid of him. Constitutional monarchy. Right? These people are not in charge. Not him. Not Sajid Javid. His opposite number. None of them. The Express study proves you can fight off dementia. 7 simple steps to protect the brain. This is a study that, as far as I know, because I didn't read The Express this morning, is dealing with mental exercises that people can do that will awaken parts of the brain that might be slowly becoming dormant. Look, we know about dementia, and talked about this yesterday, and we know about Alzheimer's, and we suspect that a lot of it is to do with heavy metal poisoning, toxicity in our atmosphere. That's what we think, because we're crazy conspiracy theorists. We're wackos, you and me. We're fucking wackos. What's on the front page of the Times? Here it is. 1 million more young adults still living with parents. Course. Because rental. Look, I'm not going to repeat my story. You know my story. We were on the verge of serious financial problems because we couldn't afford nearly £1,000 a month's rent. That's the way it is. In the cities. That's the way it is. And you could find a bit cheaper. No, you can't. You cannot find cheaper than that. All right, you can. And you'll find some dilapidated, run-down place where you have no room to even swing a fucking dog, let alone swing a cat. Right? And when you have a dog with you, you're paying a premium as well. Youngsters can't afford to rent, and they certainly cannot afford to save enough money for a deposit so that they can go to a bank and say, look, we've got 5% or 10% of the deposit, please give us a mortgage. So they're living with their parents. It's even worse because those young working men and women are blaming their parents and their grandparents' generation. They're not looking any deeper into trying to understand why the situation is as it is. But of course, this is it. This is I think I call it the Hunger Games Society. That's what it is. Right? The Metro. Missing jogger body is found. What's this lady's name? Natalie Christopher, scientist who went missing. I'm always suspicious when a scientist dies, particularly if they're out jogging. Now, we don't do the truth or industrial complex thing here. I'd love to know what she was into, this woman. You know, just for the crack, like just for the crack. Just to find out. What was she doing? Who was she doing it with? Who did she know? When scientists die, falling off cliffs when they go jogging, you have to wonder, you know, was she ruffling any feathers? No, of course she might not have been. She might just have been clumsy or very unlucky. It happens. But I would say to any scientist, if you're watching this and you're involved in any sort of research that might embarrass or annoy governments or other corporations, don't go jogging on your own. Don't take any flights anytime soon. And travel by taxi or just don't travel at all. I would say. Scientists going missing, dying, falling out of airplanes, jumping off of cliffs and stuff, you know? Anyway, it's probably a tragic accident, but I'm just throwing that one into the mix there. The Mirror runs a story. Apparently this guy is running one of the last game safari, hunting safari businesses in England. It's in the Mirror. Mirror.co.uk if you want to read it. I know I'll get called a hypocrite. I know. When guys like me opine about hunting, we get called hypocrites by vegans. Looking forward to speaking to Ben Johnstone later on. Might be very early in the morning for Ben, but he's going to come on. And I hear that, you know, I've got a thick skin. I don't mind. You can abuse me. I do eat meat, and I do, and Caroline, we do. I won't say we do our best, because that would be underselling it. We ensure that the meat we buy has been sourced from farms where the animals are kept properly and are not kept cooped up and are not fucking tortured and everything else that goes on with it. And we are conscientious about that. But I understand when vegans, vegetarians, they say you're a big hypocrite. I don't think I am a big hypocrite. You know, I couldn't. If it came to it, in some post-apocalyptic scenario, and you had to go and hunt for food to eat, could I do it? I wouldn't like it, but I suppose I'd have to do it. So maybe I'm a bit of a coward. It's a cop-out. You know, people like me, we buy meat that's been prepared. You know, I can accept the criticism. If I had to do it, I think I could do it. What I could never do is shoot anything for the fun of it. You've got to be psychotic to want to shoot an animal for the fun of it. Go out there and shoot a deer for the fun of it. There's nothing fucking fun about killing anything. Is there? I'm not going to, again, get on a platform about this. I know you're going to be in agreement with me. It's an easy sell. It's sick to go on a trip and shoot an elephant. And shoot a lion. Why would you want to do that? There's something wrong with you, I think. This is my opinion. The Sun. Micro pigs on the moon. Have you been reading this? You have. This is good stuff. This is old news, actually. The Sun is a day late to the party. This is about Israel. Everything is about Israel. The Israelis have crash-landed a craft onto the moon and they've released these little things. They're less than a millimeter long, and their real name is tardigrades. T-A-R-D-I-G-R-A-D-E-S. Tardigrades or tardigrades or tardigrades. And they're tiny little things, and apparently they're invincible. They're like Boris the Blade in Snatch. You can't fucking kill these things. You can heat them up to hundreds of degrees, and you can freeze them, and they'll go into some sort of suspension. But then when they thaw out, they'll come back to life again. These things are amazing. So they've stuck them on the moon anyway. And they're hoping that they weren't burned up in the explosion. What the fuck? How much money was spent on that? You know what I mean? Imagine the budget, like. Imagine the Chancellor. Right. We could spend a load of money on a literacy program or on social care. Or we could crash bomb a load of tardigrades into the fucking moon. Yeah, let's go with the tardigrades. Let's crash the tardigrades into the moon. Go on. But we'll never know if they survived. Not unless we go back to the moon. If we go back to the moon. Oh, God. I was listening to that Jonathan King song the other day. Everyone's Gone to the Moon. I felt guilty listening to it. It's a great song. King is a convicted sex offender, isn't he? Minors with boys. I was listening to the song and I thought, you shouldn't be listening to that, Richie. But it's a good song. As is The Way You Make Me Feel. As is Beat It. Was Michael guilty? How ya doing? Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp apparently learned how to speak English watching Friends. Fair enough. And the character he most identifies with is Joey. Good stuff. That's in the Star. All right. Where are we going? Where are we going? Let's go back to the comments. Let's go back to the comments. Oh, yeah. Una says her dad was a trade union official and he's still living in his 90s. Good innings, Una. Hope he's hale and hearty, her dad. Stinky Monkey says, why did you steal the wine? Not cool. At 18, you know right from wrong. I didn't steal it. I always tell that story wrong. I didn't steal it. Waterford Crystal used to have this huge gallery. Beautiful. With all the golf trophies and the football trophies and the tennis trophies that they make for the PGA and the WTA. Wonderful chandeliers. And there was a party there for dignitaries. And I was a tour guide, not a fucking waiter. And they said to me, do you want to make some extra money in the evening? And I said, yeah. And I said, will you make sure everybody's drink is topped up at this thing? Will you be a kind of a waiter stroke sommelier? And I said, yeah. And they said, you can have a couple of drinks if you want to. I was 18, fit as a fiddle. I was rat-arsed, pissed out of my mind. And as I was leaving, I took a bottle of Le Piat d'Or and walked through security. I didn't even really try to hide it. Wasn't stealing, really. I should always clarify that. I just wanted to drink more. I could have stayed there and drank it, but I thought, fuck, I'll take it home. I'll stick a video on. Do you remember videos? No, I've never been a thief. Christ, no. Or anything like it. Apart from that time when I was 5, when I got a hiding. I got a hiding for walking around the supermarket and eating from the pick and mix. Because I was 5. But no, of course I knew right from wrong at 18, but I was pissed. Don't give an Irishman. Thanks to Jack for the super chat donation. Thanks, Jack. Really appreciate that, man. Thanks for the monthly donation. I really appreciate that. That's lovely. Yeah. So, I don't know where we're going. I've lost. This thing won't pause for me. And I lose the comments then. Hi to Lee Dignam. How you doing? To Mark Simich as well. To JW Suicides. I was born. I'm ashamed. Yeah. Rosanna Arquette. Colin Rickson. How you doing, Colin? I'll read the papers and I'm good and fucking ready, Colin. Thank you very much. To Tuhide Dannan. Right. Move on down. Moving on down. Right, I'm going to go back to the papers now. Right. Danny says, Gary Glitter is also a convicted sex offender, but I still listen to some of his music. Great songs from my youth. Hi to Van G, to IB19, to Geraldine Mitchell. Any scientist who comes up with something the government doesn't approve of, you can guarantee they haven't got a long life expectancy, says Geraldine. You might very well be right, Geraldine. Hi to Martin Ellen. Okay. Everyone's gone to the moon. Right. This is not nice. We mentioned virtue signaler quite a lot. It's mentioned in the news all the time. It's a phrase that comes up on social media all the time. You know, virtue signaling is where you say something or you gesture in a way that's supposed to signal to the wider public that you're a good, decent person. That's virtue signalling. Taking an opportunity to show people that, oh, I'm good, I'm decent, I'm superior, I'm morally superior maybe in some way. And I'm not, I mean, this is horrendous, this. Did you see this morning? I mean, we often talk on the show about the police, and I've done a number of programmes over the years about the police in the United States and the hiring patterns and the criteria by which states and counties go about hiring police officers and how over the years they've kind of lowered the threshold or lowered the eligibility requirements to make it easier for fucknuts, lunatics to join police forces. This is true, by the way. You know, the minimum IQ required has been lowered right across the United States. And you get this horrible situation on the Mexican border. The gentleman in the picture is Donald Neely, and he's got schizophrenia and other mental health issues. And he's homeless and he's in a bad way. And he's been walked down a street by two police officers on horseback. He's handcuffed and they've tied a fucking rope to his handcuffs. I mean, at what point do you get to in your life, and I'm talking about the police officers, that it doesn't occur to you, Jesus, this is pretty fucking bad, this. This is bad stuff. This guy, God love him, what are we doing here? How do you get to a situation or a position in your life when you just have no empathy, no sympathy, no love, no pity? And that's what they've done. Criminal trespass, allegedly. They said that they'd moved him on. He was constantly wandering around, going places that he wasn't supposed to go. Apparently, the guy is as docile as a baby. Quiet, non-violent. And they handcuffed him and walked him down a street like that. It's fucking horrendous. I mean, it just is, isn't it? Trivial, as his lawyer said, trivial. This is Galveston in Texas. Starving, probably, hungry, unshaven, no place to go, mentally ill. Two fucking cowboys there decide to handcuff him and lead him down the street without a shred of thought for his dignity as a human being. That's just fucking sick. I saw that this morning, and it's in a number of newspapers today. It's made the international headlines. There he is there, God love him, look. They knew he was compliant and would hardly have needed to have tethered him with a rope. Why didn't they just get off their horses, have a chat with the guy, ask him how he was? Do you need something to eat? So somewhere we can take you. We can send for a cruiser and we'll take you someplace and we'll get you a bit of dinner or something. No, we're going to do that to you. This world is utterly fucking psychotic. And you might say, it's just that one incident, Richie. No, it isn't. It isn't. And I know I'm tired. And I know I'm due a break and I need to stop. I need to get the fuck out of here. I know that. But this, how do you fucking even explain that in 2019? The officers will be spoken to. I know there are some people on the progressive left, they'll be talking about this today. People who share the opinions of people like Rosanna Arquette. This happens because of me, because of my right prayer. It doesn't happen because of me, because I could never do that. If I'd have gone to the United States in my teens, if I'd have gotten a green card, or whatever the fuck the cards were called then, the J1 visa, whatever, and if I'd have met an American girl, and if I'd have lived there, and if I'd have entered the police force, no matter what sort of training I received or what sort of conditioning, I couldn't do that to somebody. You couldn't either. It's got nothing to do with fucking white. In fact, the chief, the police chief of Galveston is a black fucking dude. He's a black dude. And he's been apologising for it. What are you going to do about it? Suspend the fuckers. What would you do, the trade union? I don't know what I'd fucking do. They have no business wearing a uniform and looking after people if that's how they treat people. They've not got the humanity. So you shouldn't be there. I'm sorry, lads, you're in the wrong fucking job. Go and get a job on a nightclub door, maybe, where you can get your fucking rocks off beating people up. You shouldn't be doing that job. Not cut out for it. If you look at that man and you think it's okay to put a rope on his fucking wrists, get on a horse and lead him through. I mean, that image, like, that image alone, you know. Anyway, fucking hell. Speaking of progressives, that'll just wind you up. Morons. And this guy is Irish. And he's a damn good actor, this guy. Plenty of talent, this guy. But he's a fucking idiot. Look at this. Look. Cillian Murphy. I think James Bond should be a woman, which rules me out. Yeah, James Bond is a man, you see. The James bit gives it away. The James bit. And if you read Ian Fleming's books, and of course, like most men my age, we all read them when we were teenagers. We read all the Bond books when we were teenagers. You'll know that it's James, and Fleming refers to him as he all the fucking time during the books. So why would you put a woman in the role? James Bond is a man. This guy here. This is not a joke, by the way. He's not being sarcastic or ironic. He was tipped to be Bond, as was a Scottish actor called Richard Madden, who was in a drama on the BBC recently called The Bodyguard. Or Bodyguard, I can't remember what. Bodyguard or The Bodyguard. There you go. If you say anything about Bond, it becomes a headline. Second thing is, I'd say, is I think it should be a woman, which rules me out. Way to virtue signaling. Way to virtue signal, Killian. You fucking arsehole. Arsehole. Piss off. Going to be there's going to be a drama about the Lewinsky-Clinton affair. A drama. There she is, Monica Lewinsky, who had a dalliance with Bill Clinton. Apparently, in a garden shed behind the White House. Or is that, that's a Simpsons joke, isn't it? When Bill Clinton dances with Marge and he says that he's got a garden shed, he's in there most of the day. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I did not. Read my lips. I did not have sex with that woman. I did not have sex. So there she is. And the article also says that Monica turned 46. She's 46 years old. She was 46 a couple of weeks ago. Time flies. It only seems like yesterday that she was crawling around on her hands and knees and putting things in her mouth. That's an old gag. Yeah, 46 is going to be... why is that interesting? Why did you put that up there, Richie? Just to tell that stupid fucking gag? Well, partly. I'll be honest, partly. But I also wanted to remind you. When Clinton was shagging everything that moved in the White House, and she was a bit old for his taste, I would have thought, at the time, when Billow was doing that, Republicans wanted to impeach him. And £50 million... dollars was made available to investigate Clinton's extracurricular activities. This is true now. $50 million. Now, fast forward a few years, and allegedly, Osama bin Laden masterminds September the 11th. Allegedly. From the super cave and his dialysis machine, apparently. Thousands of people killed in New York. The Pentagon partly collapsed. Madness. And a man called Thomas Keene, pictured here, was given the job of finding out what happened by George W. Bush. Thomas Keene, the lawyer. And Bushy said, hey Tommy, find out what fucking happened, will you? And he gave him $3 million. That's the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Can you believe me own dog did that to me, can you? That's right, $3 million. Priorities, right? Did he get blowjobs from interns, $50 million, who was behind the attacks on September the 11th, 2001? $3 million. And this man, Thomas Keene, and this is a nice introduction to your friend, because you've got a friend who thinks you're crazy. You've got a friend who doesn't believe in any conspiracies. This man wrote a book. And in the book, he basically spills the beans. No pun intended. Bill Clinton blowing his beans and Thomas Keene spilling the beans. Thomas Keene said in the book, the 9/11 Commission was set up to fail. We were lied to at every turn. Stonewalled, the whole lot. It was a load of bollocks. Set up to fail, he said. Right? What did the newspapers do with that? Nothing. The guy couldn't get an interview anywhere to talk about the book. Book tour for Thomas Keene. Call up Fox. Arrange some interviews so the book will sell. No, they won't be interested. Yeah, there you go. 10 past 10. Oh, be Jesus. What else have we got? What else have we got? Climate change. Do you remember I said to you climate change will be blamed on everything? Everything I said. Oh, God. Turbulence now. Turbulence. Will you have a captain? Will you have a captain doing this, will you? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'd ask you to put your seatbelts back on just for the next 25 minutes because we're about to enter some pretty heavy turbulence. And it's your fault, you red eat meeting fuckers! Your fault! Your fault! I'm up here every day flying through turbulence because of you. Over and out. Listen to Greta! Madness. James Bond should be a woman, huh? This man needs a rest. Looking forward to today's show, though, the radio show. Really am. Old Fetzer, my old sparring partner. Like Jim, he's got thick skin. I can interrupt him, argue with him. Jim doesn't mind. And I will be interrupting him and arguing with him today, children. And Ben Johnston to talk about veganism. It's going to be good. Good mix today. Turbulence. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain. We'll be no longer serving meat on this flight. Jesus Christ. Oh, God. I'm going to leave it there, right? I'm going to leave it. I can't follow that. That's it. Greta Thunberg. That's how it's going to go, right? Ladies and gentlemen, the in-flight movie this afternoon will be an address from Greta Thunberg. Over now. Marvellous. Right, so there you are. Going to go and do a little bit of work. Be with you at 5 today. I'm here. I'll be with you at 5 at 5 o'clock UK time on the usual channels for the Richie Allen Radio Show. And until then, thanks for watching it. If I didn't give you a mention, don't hold it against me. You can see how many messages come in, too many, and I can't pause them and pick them up. That's something Google and YouTube needs to manage. I'm going to leave you with Her Majesty. You said it all, Liz. You said it all. I can't add any more to that. See you at 5.